When did all three of you guys, you, Alan, and Nathan, came up with the idea for Con Man?
Well, Nathan and Alan came up with it, or started talking about it years ago. They were kicking this idea around, and then we never really started doing anything till about 2 years ago in earnest, when the three of us got together and we were like, listen, let's go do this. So about 2 years ago, we really got earnest with it and started putting it all together and getting all the pieces in place.
And what made you guys go to crowdfunding as opposed to, you know, going with a studio or a network?
You know, we had originally gone around and talked to different people in a more traditional route, but Nathan and Alan are so loyal to their fans and so wanted to do something true for them that when we went to some of the more traditional routes, we ran into a lot of people who, in our mind, we felt didn't get it. And they would talk about cons in contexts like, oh, yeah, I went to the con, a con once. Oh, crazy people there, those nerds. And Nathan mentions that, but, you know, you can't say that term in a negative context. So being very nervous about giving the project away to somebody that didn't see what we saw pushed us towards crowdfunding so that we could do it ourselves and stay true to the fans.
Yeah, and it was a very successful campaign. Were you guys at all surprised by the amount of support you guys got?
Absolutely. I mean, to be that successful, of course. I mean, we knew that we had an audience. We knew that there were people that we could go to. And, you know, having Nathan and Alan on my side made it a lot easier. But, you know, I had to use all my experience throughout my life to actually go and make that thing last for a month. Because we were done, you know, in the first 48 hours, but you can't turn it off. You have to keep on going.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a challenge to keep it fresh and exciting for the whole month and keep it relative.
And did the success of the campaign at all motivate you guys more to deliver something that was unique but really told the story of what con culture is now?
You know, that was our goal from the beginning. I don't think that the success of the campaign made that any different. We always wanted to deliver something amazing, something fantastic, something the fans would like. What the success of the campaign did was allow us to give that more. So we're going to have a Spectrum comic book series, we're going to have a Spectrum novel series, and we're going to have the Con Man game. So the success of the campaign allowed us to give the fans more content to enjoy.
And, you know, with networks and studios, they're usually only respond to success and money. Do you think the success of the campaign and the way fans have responded will make them look at con culture a little different or represent it differently in, you know, traditional media like regular TV shows that are on networks and stuff like that?
It's a good question. We wonder the same thing. If you notice how San Diego Comic-Con people talk about, it's gone Hollywood, and there's a lot of Hollywood people there. A lot of times, large corporations will look at something that they deem successful and then just go have a presence or apply their own metrics or way of thinking to it. This culture has its own beat and its own rhythms, and if someone is going to be successful in this field, they have to be open to that. They have to be in tune with that. They have to know what those people, what con attendants love and what really makes them tick. And I think that Nathan and Alan and myself have that ability to do it. Are other studios going to come up and start looking at it now because of success? I hope so. You know, it sheds a light on it that it's a viable group of people that need to be heard. So we'll see. We're hoping that exact thing happens.
Yeah, and to sort of add on to what you said is, like, you know, there's a con for everything now. You know, it used to be something that's obscure, but now, you know, you just came from New York Comic Con. And I remember when I first went to New York Comic Con a couple years ago, like on Thursday, you know, that was the day where you could, like, do cartwheels on the floor. There was so much space. Now it's like every day is kind of crazy. And the craziest thing about it is that there's something for everyone, you know? It's not just, you know, for sci-fi, comics. There's something for everyone now. And what I think is great about Con Man, the series, is the fans, they know when something's up. They know when something's not real or legitimate. And I think that's why they responded the way they did to the campaign. I think they just saw, like, something real, and they wanted to support that.
And they're in it. I mean, we have a lot of the fans that are in it. They have seats. They have lines. We embraced the fans, and we made them part of the series, too. So it really is something that they own. And I think the reason why cons are getting so popular and so successful is that people are starting to realize that whatever their like is, whatever show or comic or game that they love, they can go there and get their geek on and be surrounded by groups of people that will give them no judgment, will encourage it. They will, you know, they can dress up whatever they want. People are going to stop them, take pictures of them. It's a very nurturing environment. There's very little judgment there. And it's a great place to go and just immerse yourself into the pop culture that you adore on your own.
Yeah. And another great thing is you don't just have fans, but you have a lot of people that are in that culture in terms of actors, you know, writers. Seth Green's on the show, James Gunn. So how did you guys get so many people to be involved in this series?
Well, two reasons. First of all, we reached out to our closest friends, you know, and we have a lot of friends in this circle that are not only part of it, but they too are fans. So, you know, they get just the fanboy, fangirl out just the same way. So we reached out to our group of friends, and then the writing that Alan did just really spoke to a lot of the, you know, spoke to the actor within them, and they really wanted to say those lines and be part of this. So it was a combination of using our friends but giving them a quality product that they could get behind, and they really did connect with Alan's writing of the storyline.
Yeah, and I mean, the first season does tackle a lot of things that you do see in con culture. Was there anything that you guys didn't get to do, or any people that you couldn't really work out the schedules with that you like to involve with, you know, let's say if there's a season two?
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of people from Walking Dead that they were shooting at the same time as we were, so, you know, we lost a few of those. Mm-hmm. His name is escaping me right now. The big guy, the Conan guy, he's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
Are you talking about the mountain guy, the bodybuilder?
The big muscly guy. He's going to be Aquaman now.
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa was going to be in it. Then he, right to the last second. And then his schedule messed up, so he couldn't do it. So we had a lot of scheduling, because there's so many celebrities involved, and scheduling was just a nightmare. And you know, we couldn't get everybody that we wanted to, but we have, you know, lots more stories in our head, lots more funny things to tell. So our plan is to bring all those people that couldn't get to it, the schedule has come in for season two, and we're working hard right now to find a home for season two, talking to different people and seeing if we could get somewhere maybe a little broader, or stay with Vimeo. Vimeo's doing a lot of exciting things, and we really love what they did for us, and although it's a new type of platform, they're really respectful of the fans, and a great, great bunch of people to work with.
Yeah, and you know, being that you guys reached out to your closest friends and made it with fans, how fun was it shooting and just putting the series together?
It was so much fun. There was one day when Michael Trucco from Battlestar Galactica came on set, and we were shooting all day and climbing around, and he was saying, "Why can't all sets be like this? Why can't it be like this every day I go to work?" Which is very nurturing and very collaborative, and Alan was open to everybody's input, and there was no suits that were breathing down our necks, or it was very, very open, fun, artistic environment that really shows in the performances on screen.
Yeah. And you talk about the artistic environment, do you see nowadays it's almost like the fans really speak to what they want, so do you see that as freeing as an artist, where you don't have to go through, let's say, someone who may not get what you're trying to convey in your art? Now that you could go directly to, you know, you have your own fan base where you can go to them. It's like, hey, I have this really good idea, and I promise you I'll deliver on this. So how freeing is that for you as an artist?
It's Very much so, and in the sense that it's almost as if it's a new business model where you speak to the fans, give them what they want, you know, take out all the middleman, but you still, the trick is, you still have to deliver quality product. You still have to put all the checks and balances in place so that you deliver properly. So, you know, you still have to have that business side, but it's very exciting right now, and the things that you can do on your own directly to the fan, you know, we hope more and more of that is going to start to happen. And you see it right now. Legendary is doing a lot of that stuff. Will is doing that. Felicia is doing that. Seth is doing that. So a lot of people are working directly with their fans, and you know, we did it to great success. So hopefully more of that will start popping up.
Yeah. And being that it's a new business model, were there any challenges to making the series?
Challenges. I think one of the challenges that we had was the fact that the campaign was so successful, and we had so many supporters that the logistics of serving them and their needs for the campaign. So you have 46,000 people that put in their email and have their requests, and you have a very good customer service to be able to follow up with them and deal with them and make sure that they get their codes and what their t-shirt sizes are. And such a huge campaign, I think that was the most difficult thing. But the fans are very, you know, patient with us, and they're very understanding. They understand that we may be a little overwhelmed on that side because we're filmmakers, not t-shirt makers. And yeah. If anything, that's been the part that's had the most issues for us to wrangle in, but we're doing it. We've got some good people, and we're throwing bodies at it, and it's all coming together.
Yeah, and for you, who's been in around this culture for a long time, what's it been like to see it change as much as it has in the past 10 years?
I remember going to Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, Christ, I think it might have been 20 years ago, even though way back in the beginning, I went to the very first Phoenix Comic-Con, and now it's just the sheer size of them and the quality of guests that come to them. And the other side that I noticed is how much business is happening now at cons. I was at New York Comic-Con all weekend, and I never touched the floor. I was always somewhere else doing business and press. So it's a great opportunity now to be able to promote a new product, especially an independent product like ours. Everybody is there, and we can talk to them all at once. So it really made it easier for us to get Conman a little more awareness. So it's very interesting how they've grown into these huge machines now, but in a good way.
Yeah, and it also helps that you had a Conman bus too, right?
Now the Conman bus, come on. Two stories of people on that bus, and every seat's got a Conman picture on the whole bus is wrapped. It was a beautiful thing. I was so excited to get on that bus. I loved that.
And being that the show already has a built-in fan base with, you know, 46,000 people donating and, you know, helping get the word out, what does the show have that may appeal to people who may never have been to a con or doesn't really understand the culture as much?
I think it was one of the things that we were worried about in the beginning. Would people believe or would people think that the show is just about conventions and sci-fi fans? Because it really isn't that. I mean, Ray nearly has sort of an everyman quality where he doesn't appreciate the success that he has in his life when it's right in front of him, and he's chasing something that he doesn't need to be. He has this grass is greener on the other side kind of vibe. And every time that he doesn't accept the success that's in front of him, or he makes fun of it, or he puts it down, then something bad happens to him. And it's the same issues that any person has when they're trying to gain success in their own life and whatever they're doing, whether they're an accountant or a painter or whatever it is. So we really do believe that the story of Ray has a much broader appeal than one might think when they first get a whiff of what the show's about.
Yeah. And yeah, that is an interesting journey. I mean, I think you see it a lot, especially nowadays, where people may be successful but not really appreciate what they have. And I think that's
like they may be a writer and not and have not been the bestsellers, but they think they fail, or even though they publish books, or they're a writer of a certain genre and they want to be in another genre, or they work at a certain ad agency, but it's not this ad agency. I mean, we always push that carrot farther in front of us, and then Ray sort of fails to see the love and the success he has as a sci-fi actor. And I think a lot of people, when they watch it, can relate to that, because there's a lot of tender moments and a lot of soul searching that goes on in between the comedic moments.
Yeah, and there's that moment in the trailer where it's like, when you're pigeonholed, you're not in a hole. You're in the pigeon's hole. You know? Exactly. So I think we've all, I think anyone that's been in any kind of field has felt that way, you know? Even if it's maybe the early on, they may be successful at one thing, but may want more or something completely different in their life instead of just looking at it. Especially someone like Ray, who literally sits down all day and sees people telling stories about how he's touched their lives.
Yeah, and he ignores it.
Yeah. And in terms of, again, going back to stories you would like to explore or further explore in possibly a second season, what about his journey? Where do you see him going from here?
Well, he's pushing so hard to get away from Spectrum. When they go to start to make the Spectrum movie, he may get his chance, his opportunity to get out of that, and then he's gone, you know, and he'll leave the sci-fi world only to realize that, oh my God, I missed that. I had it all along. And he goes into a different journey. He wants to do this show called Dr. Cop Lawyer. Mm. He's going to get his own 1-hour procedural. When he gets out there and it fails, and he realizes that it's sort of the same hollow ground, and he turns back to go to the Spectrum fans, but what if he gets replaced? And, you know, now he loses that as well, and then he'll see exactly what he's missing. So the journey of Ray is going to go across him, turning his back on the sci-fi community, and then that'll be the point where he realizes just how much he had and what he misses, and then him trying to get it back again.
Yeah. And being that you guys have been promoting it hard at cons like New York Comic Con and San Diego, were there any moments where you're like, that happened during the con, where you're like, we got to put this in?
Oh, yeah, all the time. It happens all the time. I mean, Alan and Nathan just went to a pile of cons before we started shooting, just so that they could keep looking for moments. So every con we go to, there's always some little nugget. And, you know, Alan takes something that might be absurd, and then he expands on it and really makes it absurd and exaggerates it. So there's really good comedy there. And every one of the scenes in Con Man has a kernel of truth to it that's happened to him or Nathan somewhere at a con. And, we're always going around and goes, oh, that would be good to Con Man. Oh, my God, we got to put that in Con Man. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for new material.
And being that this was kind of a unique experience, what have you learned, taken from this experience where, you know, you guys really put in all the work to bring this to the fans? I mean, the fans did put in, but you really want to deliver something where you can be proud of and give them something they'll love. So what have you learned?
For me, standing back and watching Alan work and seeing how much devotion he puts into it, I consider myself a hard worker. That boy is insane. He is just, he puts every drop of sweat and blood into it, and he just does not accept good enough. He keeps pushing and going and shaping and massaging it and making it better and better and better. And I'm just so impressed by his desire to never give up and really make something special. And it really inspired me to bring my game up in anything I do, you know, even in my regular life outside of work. You know, it's been a really great learning experience for me as a professional. Just, if you want to do something good, what does it take? And don't stop.
Yeah. And now that the first season's out and, you know, episodes are still coming out, what's next for you?
Well, we're working real hard on Con Man 2, second season. But I do have a couple other series that I'm looking at and talking to Vimeo with, different genres, though. And I would really like to use all my experience to be able to expand on this business model and find directly to the fans.